Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
This session, we are going to be looking at why fruitfulness is indispensable. And then when we come back tomorrow morning, we'll start looking at the fruits that God looks for. Amen. But for this session, we want to look at why is it that all these things that we are saying, you know, why can't I just use Abijare and go away? You understand? Why is fruitfulness indispensable? Or in other words, why is fruitfulness a must? Okay, that's another way of simply putting it. Why is fruitfulness a must? Or why is fruitfulness indispensable? A, I think I have about 7 points here. So the first one, if you want to use number one or you want to use number A, whatever you want to use, there's no number A. Laboring with God in accordance with His pattern. Number one, laboring with God in accordance with His pattern is impossible without being fruitful. Laboring with God in accordance with His pattern is impossible without being fruitful. In bracket, for the yoke fellow must be of the same nature. In bracket, for the yoke fellow, that is the person that wants to be God's yoke bearer, okay? You know, Jesus said, put my yoke upon you, okay? So the next person to God, who, or the human being that wants to be God's yoke fellow, okay, he must be of the same nature. John 3 verse 6, Genesis 5 verse 1 to 3. He must be of the same nature, for the yoke fellow must be of the same nature. John 3 verse 6, Genesis 5 1 to 3. He must have the same vision. He must have the same vision, Genesis 13, 14 to 17. And he must go in the same direction, and he must go in the same direction as his other yoke fellow. And he must go in the same direction, Amos 3, 3, as his other yoke fellow, full stop. Have we gotten that? Where are you? Somebody said Genesis. How can you still be in Genesis now, Busayo? Which of the Genesis? There are two Genesis there. The same vision is where you are. Okay, that's Genesis chapter 13, verse 14 to verse 17. You must have the same vision. Genesis chapter 13, verse 14 to verse 17. You must have the same vision. And you must go in the same direction. Amos 3:3, and he must go in the same direction, Amos 3:3, as his other yoke fellow. I don't think I need to explain this one. It's simple enough to understand. Abi? Huh? Joshua, is it not? There are other points. It is simple enough now. Do you understand what you've written down? You don't need it to be explained now, Shebi. It's clear. Because if you don't have the same nature as the Holy Spirit, if when He's patient, you are impatient, you understand? When He wants to be kind to people, you want to do me, I do you. You can't work together, you understand? Because there are other ones that I will need to explain. So I want to just save time. Number two. Now this one, now I'll explain this one. Number two, without fruitfulness, we cannot escape causing others to stumble. Without fruitfulness, we cannot escape causing other people or other Christians to stumble. Luke 17 verse 1. Romans 2 verse 24. Full stop. Okay? Now, this one, the only explanation is just to explain the point. Okay, it's not even that it's difficult to understand what we are saying, but what do you mean is the idea. Okay, Luke 17 verse 1, Amplified Bible Classic. Who has Classic Edition, Amplified Bible?
And Jesus said to his disciples, temptations.
Yeah, boy, don't read him. Don't read him, that lazy voice. Oh, yeah, read it properly now. Let I read now. Oh, boy, Jesus, don't go out, I will do that.
And Jesus said to his disciples,
yes.
Temptations. Snares, traps. Set to entice
that is
sin.
Set.
To entice
other people to sin,
are sure to come.
They will surely come.
But
woe to the person
by or through whom they come.
Through whom they come. Amen. Do you understand this? Causes of stumbling will always come. But woe to the person who allows himself to be the one or an instrument through which other people stumble. Now, if somebody is unfruitful, people, other Christians, other people will stumble because of you. It's as simple as that. If you are now asking how, when we are talking about fruitfulness, of course, we all know we are talking about fruits of the Holy Spirit. We all know we are talking about bringing forth fruit that is meet unto repentance. Abby? When I now say I'm a Christian, or I'm a preacher or something, but a woman once told me, she has a baby, but somehow she and her husband haven't been able to give birth to another child. And so, you know, women know how to walk up and down so much. So she went somewhere, and the man told her that the Holy Spirit told him that if she will have another child, he must sleep with her. Now, she refused. But how many other women maybe don't even have any child at all? And maybe there's been so much pressure in the family, so much problem with in-laws and all of that. How many other women would have, you know, given themselves up for that kind of thing? Are you getting it? Now, that is that this type of man is causing other people to stumble. But let's bring it home. Let us say that you have not allowed the Holy Spirit to help you. You just like when news is hot. You don't like it to be cold before you pass it. And that means you're a gossip. And now all of a sudden, you are anointed. Or maybe you are a deacon or deaconess. And now you are a deaconess that constantly looks for and carries up and down hot news. Sadly again, you are supposed to be Sunday school teacher in the same church where you are a deacon or deaconess. And the way those things work, because if anyone, I don't know how many of us are not Yoruba here, so I can translate. You all understand? Do you understand? How did they want your battle? Okay. Now, since if anyone, one or two or three, do you understand what I'm saying? Are you Yoruba? You're not. Okay. If anyone simply means, you see the way you can hide smoke, that's how you can hide character. In fact, the more you hide it, leave it to just be doing what it's doing. Once you hide it, you know when you cover smoke, what happens now? It becomes now thicker. And that's why people don't understand when they try to pretend. You are only trying to cover smoke. When it will ooze out, it will come out in all its strength. Now, possibly in that same church where you are Sunday school teacher, two or three people in your Sunday school, you have passed news from one end to the other. That is, you have carried this one's news now to this one. Then, along the line, you took half of this one's news to that one. You get the idea now. So, if it's like that, let's now say you are trying to teach the Sunday school on holiness. I think it's very clear. And some people listening to you, one of us in law, they know that the next latest news, that is, suppose CNN is not as fast as you are carrying news. And now you are talking about holiness or the love of God or holiness is even too far. Let's say in the Sunday school manner, what's there is, watch against evil speaking. You know, no matter how, let's say the Holy Spirit is using you and the word of God is coming out like fire.
You know, those people that you are passing news to, there's a way they'll be looking at you. You won't know. Is it that you don't know you are not supposed to preach this thing? Are you not the one that constantly give us news? Are you getting it now? So you cause other people to stumble. But if you are fruitful, when you hear people's news, Jesus said that whichever way you want other people to relate with you or to deal with you, whatever you want people to do to you, that's what you should do to them. Do unto others as you wish they should do to you. So you will not carry somebody's news. Why? Because you don't want somebody else to carry your news. Simple. In fact, when people are discussing things that does not concern you, what do you simply do? You excuse yourself. So that way, you will not cause other people to stumble. What about somebody that gets angry? The very popular one I used to say is the pastor that was chasing his choir master with his shoe. And church members had to catch him. And then as he was breathing, he was saying, that's how they will make people to sing. Now, if you've seen your pastor do that, and then he wants to teach on love and forgiveness, you know, you're just, the words that caught you now, if you really catch you, you will kill choir master. Because you were angry. Are you getting it now? So, if you're not fruitful, you'll cause other people to stop. I can keep going on and on and on. You are a church member, you are a leader, you borrowed money from this one. Or you are a vibrant brother in the Lord. You are prayer coordinator. You have told this sister, God say, I'll marry you. Then quietly you went to that one, God told me it's you. God told me it's you. Then they're in the prayer meeting where, I know women talk, so somehow, I really had to. So when they say, oh Lord! They just look at themselves. Or maybe you even ask this one, say, God says, you say, no, God didn't tell me anything. God says you. I want to say, God didn't tell me anything. God says you. You know, it's not different from the other one. It's the same. It's beautiful to be fruitful. Honestly. You will be like God amongst men. Be like God amongst men. Number three, the unfruitful is not fit for divine use. The unfruitful is not what? Is not fit for divine use. Why? Because it will only damage the lives of others. Because it will only damage the lives of others. Jeremiah 23:11. Jeremiah 23:13-17. It will only damage the lives of others. Jeremiah 23:11-13-17. Matthew 15:14. 2 Chronicles 12:1. It will only damage the lives of others. Where did you stop? You didn't even pick any scripture. Jeremiah 23:11. Then 13-17. Matthew 15:14. 2 Chronicles 12:1. It will only damage the lives of others, comma. It will only rebel against God. First Kings 12:25-33. So, it's not fit for divine use. Why? It will only damage the lives of other people. It will rebel against God. And it will ruin his own soul. Matthew 16:26. 1 Chronicles 10:13-14. I'm sorry? 16:26. Matthew 16:26. I'm sorry? For rebellion, 1 Kings 12:25-33. Matthew 16:26. 1 Chronicles 10:13-14.
Have we gotten that? Huh? We've gotten that. Do you need me to explain this, or it's okay? Or it's clear? Huh? We are still writing. Should I explain this point, or it's clear? You are not answering, no. It's clear. Okay, the next point. Now, this one I will explain. Should we go to the next point? Number four. Spiritual authority cannot be exercised by the unfruitful. Spiritual authority cannot be exercised by the unfruitful. Full stop. He is not a threat to the kingdom of Satan, and they know it. He is not a threat to the kingdom of Satan, and they know it. Acts 19, verse 13 to 16. Can I continue? 19, 13 to 16. Can I read on? Huh? Did somebody say no? Can I continue now? Where are you? The scripture. Acts 19, 13 to 16. So can we continue now? Yet he can exercise spiritual power. Yet he can exercise spiritual power even as a backslider. Yet he can exercise spiritual power even as a backslider. Judges chapter 16, verse 1 to 3. Can I go on? Judges 16, 1 to 3. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3. Then compare 1 Kings 11, 1 to 11. Then compare 1 Kings 11 from verse 1 to verse 11 with Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. 13, 1 to 3. Did I hear Ephesians? Oh, okay. Somebody said Ephesians, so. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3. I said Judges 16, 1 to 3. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3. First, then compare 1 Kings 11, 1 to 11 with Ecclesiastes 2, 8 to 9. Do you notice that it's not every scripture that I call that we are reading? Do you notice? It's deliberate. It's to leave something for you when you go home. Are you getting it? Something that you can study on your own. Okay? That's why. So, don't just collect it and let it be living there in your notes. Okay? Now, we are going to read, first of all, Judges 16, 1 to 3. Then we'll read 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3. Then I'll explain what I mean when we say the unfruitful cannot exercise spiritual authority, but they can exercise spiritual power, because they are not the same things. They are two different things. But what you need to know for now is that, or before we explain, is that power is lower than authority. Amen. Yes, who is reading for us? Judges 16, 1 to 3.
Then went Samson to Gaza.
Then Samson went to Gaza.
And saw there an allot.
And he saw there a prostitute.
And went in unto her.
Please hold on. Who is Samson? What was Samson's position? Huh? He was a judge or a governor or the anointed of God who rules over Israel. But one day, this man of God went to Gaza and he saw a prostitute and he went into her. Is it to preach? You know, I love the Bible because it records the failures of men, even the best of men. Don't hide anybody. Yes, go ahead.
And it was told the Gazites. Saying,
and it was told to the Philistines who live in Gaza.
Saying, Samson is come hither.
Samson is already here.
And they compassed him in.
And everybody, they enclosed the motel where the man of God is lodging with a prostitute.
Yes, so what happened?
And laid wait for him all the night.
And so they laid wait. They were planning to ambush him as soon as he's coming out from the prostitute's house.
In the gate of the city.
Yes.
And were quiet all the night, saying.
And they were quiet all the night.
Saying.
Yes.
In the morning when it is day.
In the morning after it does all night.
We shall
not prayer meeting. With that prostitute, because you don't do all night prayer meeting with prostitutes. Then they said that when he's going out, we will catch him.
We shall kill him.
We shall kill him.
And Samson laid the
look at what night. Happened though. He was about to be killed. Even though he was in sin. Amen? What happened?
And Samson laid till midnight.
And Samson, since the evening that he was there, maybe around Beagomefani, I don't know. But he waited though till he was with his prostitute midnight, till 12 o'clock in the midnight, yes?
And arose at midnight.
Then suddenly he rose up at midnight.
And took the doors of the gate of the city.
So somehow he knew that they were waiting for him.
And
so where they were waiting for him, outside of the city gate, he went there. And he took hold of the gates of the city. Yes?
And the two posts.
And the two posts. Please, look at that gate. This one is not the gate of a city. It's the gate of a house. Look at it. The post is that concrete. Can you see? What did he do?
And went away with them.
He uprooted a city gate. Anointing. Even in the midst of backsliding. Uprooted city gate. Not which of you can carry this gate? I didn't say if I join hand with you, this one. They are powerful. I thought you have shoulder now. Can you carry it? Since Kelechi is not answering me, say you try. How many men do you need to carry a house gate? Depending on how heavy you. How many? At least how many men? Like four. For a normal gate. What if it's just reinforced gates? Those ones that look at it, the armored gates. Maybe eight of us and we'll be screaming. Yay, Remember yesterday when we were going to your house, how many men carried that gate? About eight men, and they were screaming. House gate, not city gate. How many of you have watched all these ancient films before? When they want to attack a city and they are trying to open the gate. You know, it takes about two or four men to even open those gates. Samson removed it. That's not all though. He put it on his shoulder. Yes?
Bar and all. And he put them upon his shoulder.
Yes? And what did he do?
And carried them up to the top of the hill.
He ran up a hill with it.
That is before Hebron.
If he's to remove people's gates, you want to put it like 2 miles away. You're going to put it on a hill. Am I being there? Yet, he was in backsliding. It was a prostitute house he stood up from. So, you that used to ask, about how come God is still using them? The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That's why Jesus never said, by their gifts you know them. He said, by their fruits. So, if you are letting a man's gift confuse you, because even if you finish sleeping with women, say, four! No, it's not four, they say. They say receive. They receive. And people are falling down. They are riding bicycle on the ground. And all manner of manifestations are happening. That doesn't mean God knows him. It doesn't mean God knows him. It is by the fruits that is produced that God is interested in. Samson was the most selfish, the most self-centered judge that ever ruled Israel. He never did anything because of Israel. It's always about his ego. Yet, are you telling me God didn't know what he's doing? No, God knows what he's doing. God gives all men opportunity equally. So you can call anyone. You are the one that will be worthy of the call wherewith you have been called. You are the one that will tell yourself, I'll be worthy of this call. First Corinthians 13, 1 to 3. Spiritual power can be exercised, even in backsliding. And so spiritual power is never the basis for you, if you are trying to identify whether men are close to God, don't ever use spiritual power. Don't. Because the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Once he gives it, It doesn't take you back. Now, if the person continues in that backsliding, that power will be declining. What did I say to be doing? Because it took him years to gather it. Are you getting it now? So it will take a while before it will be declining. But if you're a spiritual person, you'll find out that the person is not fresh. Do you understand? You'll be finding out, you know, if food is plenty, and we didn't finish it, in, like soup especially, and didn't finish it on time, what will happen the second, the third day? It will start tasting something. It will start changing taste. Abby? It's the same way. The power may be there. You not see him boasting. You not see him dinner. So you know, you will never see any genuine servant of God boast. No. If he will boast about anything, he will boast about what God can do. Or what God has done. And he will be careful to remove himself. So that you don't see him, you keep seeing God alone. You will never see any man that genuinely is laboring for heaven. You won't see him. Because he knows that the message is more important than he, the messenger. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3.
1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3.
This was what shocked me when I saw the Holy Spirit himself lifting his fruit above all his gifts. Yes?
Though I speak with the tongues of men. And of angels.
And I can also even interpret and speak with angelic tongue.
And have not charity.
But I do not have the fruits of the Holy Spirit.
I am become a sounding brass.
Please, what am I?
A sounding brass.
Just a sounding brass. And what?
Or a tinkling cymbal.
Or a tinkling cymbal. Yes?
And though I have the gift of prophecy.
And even though I have the gift of prophecy.
And understand all mysteries.
And I understand all mysteries.
And all knowledge.
And all knowledge.
And though I have all faith.
And even if I have all faith.
So that I could remove mountains.
Such that I'm now going to, what do you call it? These places where they put dead bodies. Is it mortuary? The morgue. Is morgue mortuary? Huh? Okay, so I now go to mortuary and I'm saying, arise, arise! What unfolded? Eh? What did the Bible say?
And I have not charity.
And I do not have the fruits of love, the fruit of the Holy Spirit.
I am nothing.
And don't men consider such a man as something? Eh? What is the verdict of the word of God? Such a person is nothing. Now, that you think is something, and the whole of Nigeria thinks it's something, and is a man of God, and all he prophesies about is which governor is going to die next. Politics is what he constantly prophesying on, as if that's what he's sent to do. You may respect him, but God said he's nothing. And may you agree with God in Jesus' name. Just seems all the prophets in Nigeria now. Is now to be saying two governors will come. What concerns a man of God with that? How is that your business? But anyway, the Bible says that they are the world. So they speak of the world. And the world hears them. Amen. Amen. It's not your concern about which governor is decamping, which one is not decamping. It is well. Verse 3, yes?
And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor.
Yes.
And though I give my body to be burned.
Yes.
And have not charity.
Yes.
It profits me nothing.
Amen. Spiritual gifts are, I'm just explaining this point. Spiritual gifts are divided into three groups. With three gifts in each of the groups. Abby? You have vocal gifts. You have revelation gifts, and you have power gifts. Amen. So, verse 1 says, can you read verse 1 again?
Do I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not charity?
Now, under vocal gifts, you have three gifts. Speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Amen. Huh? Now, you see, the superiority of the fruits of the Holy Spirit over that. So even if I'm speaking with tongues of men, Even if I'm able to preach, because what I've been doing since is prophesying. Are you getting it now? And I'm able to do it so well. But if the fruits of the Holy Spirit is not at work in me, if the Holy Spirit doesn't have absolute control over my life, such that even what I'm preaching, that's how I'm living. What did he say I am? He said I'm just noise pollution. Amen. What am I? Verse 2 says, what?
And though I have the gifts of prophecy,
yes,
and understand all mysteries.
Now, understand all mysteries. Yes?
And all knowledge.
And all knowledge.
And though I have all...
Hold on there. Do you notice understanding all mysteries and having all knowledge talks about revelation gifts? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Those are the three gifts under that one. But two was mentioned in this verse too. I understand all mysteries and I have all knowledge. But if the Holy Spirit is not at work in me, what did he say I am? So even if I'm able to tell you, as some do now, there's somebody here, your middle name is Olaiwola. How did he know? In fact, so that you can know it is you that I'm talking about, your phone number is 080. You're a magician. How can that one save anybody? You can't talk for 080. At the end of it, oh my girlfriend, honey. Is that not how, have you not been in such meeting before? That's how it will end. Oh my girlfriend, I like being one. God didn't give these gifts so that people will not enter into his kingdom. He gave the gift so that work will be easy. But an unfruitful person can never handle spiritual authority. No, he may work with spiritual power even if he's backslidden. He can use power even if he's not under control. But he can't have authority. He can't. He can't have authority. Authority is for those who are under control. Amen. Exercise spiritual authority. It's not given to him. Instead, what is his limit? Spiritual power. Now, so what then is the difference between power and authority? One, and why should it be that if I'm seeking for anything, what must I seek for? Spiritual authority. Power or spiritual power is just simply the ability to get things done. Or the ability to be able to do something. Even if it is something that is not possible, humanly speaking. That's simply, because I want to just simplify it so that I'm not using any theological, you know. So for instance now, if I have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I could look at you and I can just simply tell you that there are three things that you regret in your life. And it will be so. Are you getting it now? And this gift can be used even at will. How can it be used? But it can also be used under the leadership and control of the Holy Spirit. But if you are not somebody whom the Holy Spirit has absolute control over already, it can be used to prove a point. What did I say? Once, I was in a leadership meeting and I was teaching them how most ministries are based on gifts. Okay? And as I was explaining it, somebody walked in and I said to her, "Sister, you were angry with one of your children this morning." She was just coming into the meeting. But I had to prove it to them that you don't need to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit to exercise these things. So she stopped. She said, "Yes." I said, "The fight was about food." She went to eat something, but there was something that you prepared and you prepared that everybody would fall in line and eat. She said, "Yes." I said, "Can you see what I'm saying?" Amen. So that somebody is, you know, there are times when you see some people come inside, and the moment they come inside, You just want to prove, inside though, you know, you won't know that that's what the person, why. I'm sensing the Lord is saying now, because God didn't say anything. He said we should do this now. He said he wants to help some people. Maybe because you know that when you lay hands on people, they get slain in the spirit. You understand? Then just to prove a point, you hijack the meeting from the hand of the Holy Spirit. And what happens? You are doing your own thing. So, spiritual power can be used anyhow you want it. And that's why the Bible is saying you can speak in tongues, you can move mountains, and not have love. I hope you know that the Holy Spirit didn't say for the fruits of the Holy Spirit are this. You know, he said the fruit. I hope you know that the fruit is not two, it's only one. Yet, we count nine things. Because they are all varieties of the same one thing. If you read the same 1 Corinthians 13, from verse 4 downwards, you will see all love, peace, long-suffering. You see how love is used to explain all of them. That love is patient. Abi? But meanwhile, you see patience as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So, we are talking about just one thing. Love. Amen. In fact, we are just simply talking about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. That's just what we are talking about. It's a command, yet the Holy Spirit works out obedience to that command in our lives if we will yield to Him. Amen. You may just want to prove a point. And as people stand up, say, yokes will be broken in this place today. And the person that was looking at you somehow, as you just lay on some people, they'll be falling. But by the time you get to him, because you want to defeat him, to show him that there's power. He starts saying something. All those things are true because they are gifts. You understand? After a while, maybe you lay hand on him till he fell down. He came to thank you afterwards and all of that. Then you notice that he's the one that parked the Prado outside. And all of a sudden, you become a Gehazi. You begin to imagine what can we collect from him. If there was fruit, you would have learned that godliness and contentment is great gain. But since there's no fruit, you will now start prophesying lies. Start saying all manner of things just so that you'll be given something. Power can be exercised in backsliding. Authority cannot. Amen? If you are not fruitful, you can't even touch authority. Who are you? Authority is what makes God God. What did I say? And yet, when he made man like himself, he wants man to share in what he is, in his position and in where he's standing or sitting as God. Amen. When we came into Christ, do you remember that the Bible says in Ephesians 2, that from verse 4 to 6, that after he forgave us of our sins and all of that, he made us to sit with him where? In heavenly places where? In Christ Jesus. Where is Christ seated? At the right hand of God. So I said, man is next to God in position and in power. As far as authority is concerned. But you cannot be on that seat if you are not under control. Amen. You can't. You must be under control to be able to be on that seat. So, if power is the ability to get things done, maybe somebody is sick, you get him healed. Somebody is diseased, Abby, you get him. Like I was telling them this morning, we are not attacking spiritual gifts because we don't have. Amen. I have seen God do mighty things from my hands. I have seen it. Amen. So, we are not trying to pull down spiritual gifts so that, and well, since they are barren, as far as spiritual gifts are concerned, I have seen signs and wonders happen. I have. To the glory of God. So that's not what this is about. But too many of us are falling victims to men, thinking that they are godly men because they are powerful men. Huh? or thinking that they are in tune with God because they could prophesy, or they could see visions, they could do one thing or the other. No. It is not by their gift that we shall know them, it is by their fruits. If it is by their gift, Judas should be in heaven. We read a place yesterday in Matthew 10:1. Abby, what does Judas have apart from ability to preach? Power over what? Devils. What again? Ability to heal the sick and to heal how many types of diseases? All. Where is Judas? Is he in heaven? Spiritual authority is the spiritual and legal right to rule. Spiritual authority is the spiritual and the legal right to rule. I could have simply said it is the spiritual right and the legal right. So I don't want tautology. That's why I put it together. Is the spiritual and legal right to rule and to issue decrees. Luke 10 verse 19, John 20 verse 21. And the ability to enforce compliance. Spiritual authority is a spiritual right. It's a spiritual and legal right to rule and issue decrees. Luke 10:19, John 20:21, and the ability to enforce compliance. Job 22:28, Matthew 16:19. Full stop. Brethren, spiritual power is merely a derivative, that is something that you get from spiritual authority. Do you understand? Therefore, authority is higher than power. Are you getting it now? Power comes from authority. Authority does not come from power, no. Authority is the right to rule. It's a legal right to rule. For instance, let me give you an example. If you are driving and you see a policeman, in Nigeria, I'm just saying in Nigeria, and he stands in the middle of the road and he raises his hand. Sometimes, what will happen? Most of the time, what will happen? But sometimes people may not stop. I'm saying if it's maybe a policeman, maybe a traffic warden. Even though in Nigeria, people are supposed to stop when the police traffic warden says stop. Is it not so? But you see, I'm using Nigerian context. If you see a policeman, RRS policeman, with helmet and bulletproof vest and a rifle, and he raises his hand, what will you do? You must apply the brake. What if it's a soldier that is not even carrying a gun? Can you see different levels of power and authority? And some of people fear soldiers that doesn't even have a gun more than a policeman wearing black and black that is carrying a gun. Are you following me? What if you now see an agbero in the middle of the road and you say, hey. You know, if you don't have, you claim. It is the same in the spirit realm. Amen. There are some people that the devil knows they have every right. Because they are representatives of God, they are supposed to carry, they are bearers of his authority. And they are only involved in whatever they are involved in for God. For who? And that's where most of our ministries are failed. And that's why most of us who say we are born again are failed. There's always an ulterior motive. There's always something in it for us. And the moment you do that, you lose legitimacy. And there must be legitimacy for you to have authority. That is, I don't know, how do I, now I'm speaking grammar now. I'm speaking government. Or is it civics? What do they call it? That legitimacy is like the right, that right to rule. That you are a constituted authority. But the moment you are into other things, you are doing ministry, and one year photo, and one time say, how the man of God went there, the leg straightened, and you are giving them bags of rice, you are taking the video of everything, you lose legitimacy to call yourself a representative of God. If you're a representative of God, you have no other business. When an ambassador is in a country, what other work does he do? In that country that he's in, an ambassador of another country. Is there any other work he's doing? What's the only thing he's doing? He's representing his king or his president. But where we claim to be representing God, prayer water. You're already a merchant. Merchant of Venice. So, to not get in the name of Jesus. What name of Jesus? Satan's people are dedicated to the cause of their master. So that's what are you talking about? Which name of Jesus? I will be anywhere. You too, you are calling the name of Jesus. Is that not what happened to the sons of Sceva? So when we are speaking spiritual authority, we are talking about the spiritual and legal right to rule. The right that you have, the right that God has that makes him king over all things to rule, he delegates that authority. Do you understand now? To those who are his own, who are laboring just for him. Just for who? In those early days, when they say there's this big conference coming, we'll be happy that we will hear God. And when they finish and they are saying they are selling the CDs, they are selling books, by the time we get there, we'll find out we can't afford one. One. As far back as those times, 3,000, 3,500 CD. Not DVD, CD of message. So you will look, and wish, if only you can afford it so that you can know God. After a while, we will just walk away since we can't afford it. I never knew that church was business. And the moment you begin to sell what you are supposed to give away for free, you lose legitimacy. So you lose. While my concern is not about what other men are doing and what their churches or ministers are doing, it's because I don't know how far God will take you. So let's assume they never had. Let's assume. You can't say you didn't hear now. Because when power breaks forth over your life, it's only the fruit of the Spirit that will keep you humble and that will keep it free so that lives can benefit from it even when they don't have. Instantly, men think about how they monetize gifts. Fine preaching, fine message, find song, find this one, find that one. Elu lama tani. The cost for spiritual authority. The cost, if you'll ever bear spiritual authority in your life, the cost, and it's a cost that is consistent, that must be consistently paid. The cost is your will. The cost is your what? You must constantly be ready to surrender and submit it for God's will to be done. So the moment it is God's will, it brings the personality and the authority of who God is. Whatever that wants to withstand you, who are they facing now? It's not God. So you are only standing there for him. And if you are saying, well, thank God, me, I will never be a pastor, but you'll be a father. Is it not so? You'll be a mother. Is it not so? So if Satan wants to snatch your child, what will you do? You go and call daddy in the Lord. What if he's sleeping? What if daddy in the Lord has died? Amen. Spiritual authority cannot be exercised by the unfruitful. No. It may have spiritual power. It can never exercise spiritual authority. It's not possible. When one comes under the authority and control of the Holy Spirit, by letting him produce his fruits in us, his authority and power will come upon us. Remember 2 Corinthians 10 verse 6, being in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is complete. Amen. Number 5, the unfruitful. Seeing he remains in the flesh, the unfruitful, seeing, to see with your eyes, that he remains in the flesh. Romans 8, 6 to 8. And is still a captive to its will and passions. The unfruitful, seeing that it remains in the flesh, and still a captive to its will and passions, Ephesians 4:22, is never really free from the manipulations or oppressions of the devil. The unfruitful, seeing that it remains in the flesh, and is a captive to its will and passions, is never really free from the manipulations and oppressions of the devil. John 8:34, Romans 6:16. You see, because all they need to do is press a button in him, and then he will react, and he will respond exactly as they know he will respond. Amen. Let me give you an example. If you are somebody that is quick to anger, are you in the spirit or you are in the flesh? Huh? Now, if you are saying, I want to work with God, I want to please God, if Satan wants to deal with you, what does he need to do? Huh? He will just bring about a scenario that gets you angry. That's all. That's all he needs to do. And all the trying to please God, everything comes crashing down. When you are fruitful, will you be quick to anger? Because the Holy Spirit would have worked out long suffering in you. Amen. Ability to suffer long without complaining, without seeking revenge, or without repining, without regretting and saying, thank God for Christ. Thank God for Christ. If not that I'm born again, there are like 9 things I can do to you now. No, you're not born again. You're not born again now. Why are you still remembering what you could have done? You know? Number 6. Is that number 6 or number 5? Yeah, number 6. The unfruitful will not enter into the kingdom of God. He won't. He will not. Why will he not enter into the kingdom of God? Because he will be lost on the way. Amen. Matthew 23 verse 13, John 15 verse 2, and verse 6, Luke 13 verse 25. Why will he not enter into the kingdom of God? For he does not have the fruits required for the long, hard, and hazardous or dangerous journey ahead to the celestial city. That's why. Because it does not have the fruits required for the long, hard, and hazardous journey ahead to the celestial city. 1 Corinthians 6, 9-10. Galatians 5, 24. John 14, 6. First Corinthians 6, 9 to 10, Galatians 5, 24, John 14, verse 6. He won't enter. Now, if somebody is not, let me ask you this. If somebody is not in the spirit, where is he? Huh? If somebody is not producing, or if a life is not producing the fruits of the spirit, what is that life producing? The works of the flesh. Simple. And the Bible clearly said, they that are in the flesh, they cannot please God. Can something or someone who is not pleasing God enter into his kingdom? Number 7, the last one, then we can ask our questions if we have them. Spiritual growth is impossible. Spiritual growth is impossible since spiritual progress is actually measured in fruits developed and practiced as a lifestyle. Spiritual growth is impossible. Number 7. Spiritual growth is impossible since spiritual progress is actually measured in fruits developed and practiced as a lifestyle. Matthew 7:16, then 20. Matthew 7:16, then verse 20. are not necessarily in gifts developed or exhibited. Spiritual growth is impossible since spiritual progress is actually measured in fruits developed and practiced as a lifestyle. Matthew 7 verse 16, then verse 20. And not necessarily in gifts developed or exhibited. Do we understand this one, or you want me to explain? Huh? If we say somebody is growing as a Christian, what really do we mean? Is it that, what a pen church ain't gone? So they gave him a wall clock to celebrate his 25 years anniversary as a member of the church. Is that what it means that somebody is growing as a Christian? Or somebody is experiencing spiritual maturity? Or that now he has anointing? Have you not seen so many people with anointing that are boasters? Have you not seen them? Now, if you have seen somebody that has anointing but is boastful, did you ever see Jesus boast? If Jesus didn't boast, why are they boasting? So, gifts developed or exhibited is not the yardstick, or is not a way of measuring spiritual growth. No. Spiritual growth means three things. One, it means constant and consistent obedience to God. To God's word, rather. Now, once you've seen something in the word of God, you don't need any excuse. You don't need any other explanation. You don't need any other drive or reason. If that's what the word of God says, that's what you will do. Number two, spiritual growth means conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. Number three, spiritual growth means exhibition of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Simple. Obedience to God, becoming like Jesus, and bearing the fruits of the Spirit. That's what it means that you are spiritual. So, but you know, in Nigeria, because we are superstitious people, once you are shaking you, once somebody can see vision and do that, what is it? It's spiritual. So when he's using all those things to gather money from you, they say, one that shall never end. And they say it's a man of God. You are the one that says a man of God. The one that called a man of God. Amen. Brethren, these are the reasons why fruitfulness or bearing the fruits of the Holy Spirit is indispensable. Why it's a must. And it's not just something that we can say, I may not. No. You must. When a man is under the control of the Holy Spirit, the power of God is safe in his hands. The power of God is what? He can bear that power safely and still make it home. Amen. If he is not under the absolute control of the Holy Spirit, that power will corrupt him. What would that power do? And do you know what I found out? People actually develop faster fruits of the Holy Spirit gifts of the Holy Spirit than fruits of the Holy Spirit. I pray in your life it will be the other way around. In Jesus' name. That you will be under control when power comes. There are some people, they are angry because you don't kneel down to greet them. I'm telling you. Now, can't you see that the person that you are talking to is a man of God? Bro, you are a proud person. It's not that you are a man of God, you are a proud person. Wasn't Jesus the Son of God? Does anybody here call this brother Jesus? Do you? God Almighty, is he not old that you use for me if you are Yoruba, if you are praying? They shall know me. Is that what you say? Do you say, they shall know me? Okay, if you say. How do you call him? Is it not Olorun you call him? Do you call him Uncle Olorun? Or Daddy Olorun? When a man has, so much need to be respected, to be revered, you see a man that is bereft of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. For meekness is one of the fruits. Abi? When we get to explaining each of the varieties of the fruit, by the time we get to meekness, I know the Lord will explain more to us. Because brokenness actually is what God is talking about. Beyond just walking meekly or being meek before people, but that you're broken. That there's nothing that gets to you because you just want to please God. That's all. Amen. Say, no. How can you call me by my name? I am Pastor Doctor. Something. He doesn't have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Simple and short. If he has it, he will never insist on those things he's insisting upon. And while it's good to hear about somebody calling himself something, you see, the reason why you are angry whenever that girl that is 2 years younger than you calls you by name is because you are proud. Amen. The reason why you keep insisting, whenever you gather the first things, modular, I'm not even doing it. It's because you're a proud person. There are no other reason. It's because the fruit of the Holy Spirit is not in your life. If it is there, people's age will not be your concern. What they call you won't be your concern. How am I going to show you? You have a problem. Even children, I don't know their right from their left. You're already using them to pull something. Because there's no fruit. If there's fruit, you're not concerned about those kind of things. However, people like that, them call you. Your concern is that you want to make it home and you want to please God. Huh? You even be thankful to God that there are people that don't respect you. Because it's helping you to learn how to be humble. Saying, you just called me. Abraham! Sir! I just felt somehow. That was the flesh that just reacted. It was the flesh. Wasn't? If you are of God, what do you call Jesus? Uncle Jesus? Eh? What do you call Jesus? So this thing that you are insisting people must call you something, I don't understand. And they are talking to you. Because they have robbed you. Where is sweet? Where they sweet you? They don't rob you for the place. You don't know they are not helping you. Amen. Let's ask our questions. That is all the teaching for today. Amen. You can ask our questions. We will make progress in Jesus' name. You should become that kind of Christian. And when men see you, Bible says, whenever Moses stands up and is going to the tent of a meeting, every Israelite will stand by his door tent. And they will be looking at him as he's going. Man of God. And the moment he enters that place like this, the cloud will leave where it is and come and settle there. Settle on that. Then everybody will kneel and they start worshiping. Start saying, God, Moses is there. May you become that kind of Christian. Whose walk with God provokes people to draw close to God and leave all these dead works. And they are not calling me something. And when they call me, they didn't use my title. May his word, may his presence be what qualifies you. May that become your qualification. May you not need to be qualified because of a title or one anointing somewhere, one power, or in the name of Jesus. It's time to ask our questions.
Any practical steps for us to be under the control of the Holy Spirit? Is there any practical steps?
She's asking, are there any practical steps if I want to be under the control of the Holy Spirit? May I thank God that God is not, arbitrary. I'm going to begin here. Huh? No, the other word, that one for if something is not real, if something can't be touched. Abstract. Because if God was abstract, we'll just say, be in the Spirit. And say, how? So by being in the Spirit. That's how it would have been in the Spirit. Is there any practical way, that's your question, of being under the control of the Holy Spirit? My sister, yes. For God is a practical person. So what then is that way? Please, who authored the Bible? Who is the author of the Bible? God, which of God? Which of the God? Or which God? God the Holy Spirit. Abby? If you read your Bible and you are practicing what you are doing, practicing what you are doing as a lifestyle, not once in a while, as a lifestyle, what are you already? You're under his control. If when you wake up and you're about to go out, you saw, that's, I like using very, very small, small things to explain so that you get it. You saw something in the house that is not where it's supposed to be. And you sensed in your spirit, pick this thing, put it where it's supposed to be. Who is talking to you? If you're under the control of your spirit, what will you do? You wait, pick it, put it back. When you're passing by the trash can in the house, and it is full, what will happen to you immediately? Will you hear God or you will not hear God? Because people say they don't hear God. Eh? What will you hear? Go and empty the trash. Now, you will hear that more often when it's not your turn to do it. Amen. Are you seeing practical steps now? If you want the Holy Spirit to keep talking to you, what do? You carry the trash as it is smelling. You go and empty it. Because Jesus, for the Son of Man, did not come to be served. Abi? He came as what? As a servant and to give his life as a ransom for many. So you empty it. When you are passing by the kitchen and tons of plates are there in the sink, and particularly if you are a younger sister, and so if you are an elder sister, and your younger ones are at home, what do you just expect immediately? What will you expect? That they should wash it. You know, so since you are older than washing plates. But what would your conscience be telling you? This place is not clean. Make it neat. Amen. Is it my turn? That's not anything. And so after a while, he stops telling you about plates. Since he doesn't want to be shouted at. You understand? But when you yield to him in small, small things like that, you would have started walking with God. When you surround yourself, when you condition your atmosphere or your environment to help you or to be spiritual, e.g., anywhere you are, you want to listen to holy songs, you want to have a book, a Christian book that you're reading because you're trying to learn something. You understand? There are practical steps. Simple steps. You saw your mommy's clothes. She packed them somewhere. They are dirty. And maybe your mommy washes her clothes. Not because she likes to wash her clothes alone, but because you said, Moti Dagba, Moti, try it. And you know they can't beat you again. Is it not so? So there's nothing they can do. If you're not washing it, what would you do? And as you are packing our dirty clothes aside, what is the Holy Spirit saying? If you want him to speak again, you obey the instruction he's given now. Little by little like that, he begins to speak to you, things become clear for you. The pathway to God is a pathway of sacrifice and selflessness. What's the pathway to God? And to show that somebody is fully fleshy, do you want to sacrifice anything for anybody? Do you want to be selfless for anybody? No. I want to be self-centered and selfish. But if and when God begins to speak to you and you begin to respond, you become more sacrificial. You become more selfless. Okay? Very good question. Have you gotten what you do now? Very simple things. Very simple. Keep obeying your Bible. Keep meditating in the Word. Keep praying. Keep practicing what you are learning. But whatever nudging is given to you in your spirit, do it. Simple. That's all. God is very simple to work with. It's not complicated, not at all. Questions? Yes, Brother Mike. Spiritual authority and power. Okay, give him the mic, please.
We learned that anyone who is spiritually fruitful must be given the spiritual authority. No, must be given the spiritual authority. Anyone that is spiritually fruitful, you have to get the spiritual authority. Now, should we now conclude that those that are exhibiting the spiritual power are not spiritually fruitful? As in, all the people exhibiting the spiritual power are not spiritually fruitful.
We have to be careful, you know, because if we say that somebody exhibiting spiritual power is not fruitful, or doesn't have the fruit of the Spirit, we may be hasty. Are you getting it? That maybe somebody is ministering now, and we are seeing the display of so much power, spiritual power. It doesn't necessarily mean it doesn't have spiritual authority. Are you getting it? We have been in this meeting, and there's been such a display of spiritual power, even in this meeting. Huh? Does that then mean I don't have spiritual... does that then mean that I'm not fruitful? You understand? But if it is somebody that you know, if when you came a bit closer, what you saw on the pulpit is different from what you are seeing, that's when we can conclude on that. You understand? It will not be correct to just automatically put somebody under total blanket and say, once we see so much display of power, it means that they are not fruitful. That will not be correct. But if it is that you know this person, he finds things to break, and yet he has anointing that raises the dead, you know he has a problem. Are you getting it now? It's not, we can't just conclude like that. You'll not be right. Thank you. Good question. Yes. Bro Gwenga, I see your hand. Bro Kayode.
Elisha displayed anger. Why? He received the double portion of anointing.
Yes. Is the mic on? Okay.
After he received double portion anointing, the sons of
prophets,
they were abusing him that by it.
No, it was actually some children, not sons of the prophet.
By it, go up. And he displayed anger. What can you say about that? And we were told that if you are struggling with anger, that means you have a problem with fruitfulness.
Okay.
Fruit of the Spirit.
Okay, so what's the question?
The question is, can one as a Christian, can you like live a free life without anger? As in, can you like not be angry?
You can.
Any situation.
You can live without constantly being angry. You understand? And the Bible says, be angry, but sin not. Don't let the sun set over your anger. You understand? That thing that Elisha exhibited was anger. And it's not righteous. They said to Elijah, man of God, come down. He said, if I'm a man of God, let fire come down and burn you people. Now, when the disciples of Jesus went to preach somewhere, and they rejected them, they said, Master, they rejected us. Let's call down fire like the way Elijah called down fire on people. Jesus said, keep quiet. Don't you know the kind of spirit you carry? Because if you say that, what must fire do? It must come down. But then, what are you showing? When they rejected Jesus, did he call fire? Did he burn people? So you can be angry and not sin. How, Abby? By being angry at things that God is angry at. That's all. That you're only angry when you see injustice, when you see unrighteousness. That's when you're angry. It's not that you're angry because somebody didn't greet you well or somebody insulted you. You understand? Thank you. Good question. Yes.
Men of God, they were talking about that many of them display their popularity even in when they are ministering, be all this, Do they start with that same way?
Well, you will have to ask them.
So now, for us, as we are growing...
Because I'm not concerned about you.
Now, for us...
I'm not concerned about whatever anybody is doing. And if those examples were used, they're only used, just as you said, for us that are growing. They are given to you as an example of what may happen to you if you are not fruitful. Are you getting it? I'm not afraid to speak about anybody. If the Holy Spirit asks me to, I will. You know me, I'm not... But I'm more concerned that you get it right than that we say, they have missed it. Meanwhile, your way towards missing it, though. They have really missed it. That doesn't concern us. Go ahead. You said for us that are growing.
And for us that are growing, and as we are believing God, that will be taking us to some of those levels.
Yeah.
At those points, at times, some of these people that want to give you special honor that even you are not.
They don't want.
Okay. What should be?
What should you do, Abi?
Yes.
I will answer you. I will answer you. Don't worry.
You just be careful
that some of us too, we have faced those things before. Lamine, we went to Yaba Tech together to minister. Abi? Then we had them praising one man of God. Then I asked you a question that, is it me they are talking about? Do you remember? What did I do? You can't remember. When I say that, maybe you remember. I stood up instantly before they can finish what they are doing. I came there and I took the microphone from the person. That's what I did. We were talking, but I think they wanted me to come. You understand? And they said, you know, there's this man of God here. Oh, he has me a blessing. Oh. They would have caused fight between you and the Holy Spirit before you even come. No, all honor is due to God. Me, I don't. That you respect me and honor me, does that mean God is happy with me? Huh? What did he say? Is that even when you have done all, and many times I don't do all, may God help me. Even when you have done all that's required of you, say I'm an unprofitable servant. Someone has not even done one tenth. They are praising you, you are fat there in the flesh. bless you. Oh, they deliver you. You ask, what should you do?
Yes, and now, for those that are unlike-minded around the place, that they always want that kind of honor. Perpetual, we are mixed of them. We did not be looking at the Pekilonjelego.
Does it matter how they look at you? Huh? The Pharisees, did they not like honor? Benga, did they not like honor? Pharisees. Did Jesus like honor? No. It doesn't matter how people look at me. It doesn't even matter what people say about me. Even if it's not true. Do you know my responsibility? To make sure whatever they are saying is not true. But that they will lie against me. You can't control people's mouths, can you? Can you control the mouth of other people or their thoughts? You can't. But what you can control is your own life and what you do. Even if we're among people, because what you're talking about is compromising. Sure you know that's what you're talking about. That what if you're in the midst of people who are like that? What should you do? You take the stand of Christ. After a while, they will know that it is just pleasing God that concerns you, and they will treat you like that. And those who like that, there must be drum set before they come out. They will still be doing it. On that last day, we will see who God will mark that he has passed in their lives. And we'll see who God will say they are filled with their lives. It's simple. Be very, very careful with the fear of man. What did I say? When you fear man, or when you fear men, you will never be able to fear God or please God. Be very careful with the fear of man. I don't care what you say about me or what you think about me. It doesn't change who God says I am or what God says I am. It doesn't change it. And if I'm in God's good books, hey, Poto, that doesn't matter the number of people that are opposed to me. All I want to do is to make sure I'm in God's good books. If I've settled that, I don't have any problem. For if that is a genuine walk, will I put stumbling block before other people? I won't. If I want to please God, I will please men. Quote and unquote. Now, when I say please men, that is I'll be able to make men happy and all of that. If what I'm concerned about is pleasing God. You understand? But if I want to be pleasing men so that they will not be angry with me or something, I will displease God. And I will destroy men. You understand? But if I please God, eventually, men will come around. They will eventually be happy with me. Because they will find out that this person, he actually stood the test of time. Okay?
Question. Yes.
Sir, you mentioned yesterday that pride resides in the flesh.
I didn't hear that.
That pride resides in the flesh. And I think pride resides in the flesh of man.
Pride, yes.
And I think we've come to understand that prayer will shape some things away from your life. Like,
yes.
Shape them away from your life. But the belief I have is, and I just want to understand, pride, well, you've talked about studying the Bible, fellowshipping with God more and all that. And
sorry?
You've talked about studying the Bible, fellowshipping with God more.
Fellowshipping with God,
exactly,
okay.
Exactly. And then, of course, this power breaking out and all that. Will the time come in a person's life when pride will not even be there? Because you could actually pray for someone right now, and you know that Jesus actually did it. And then it just comes in your heart, check out what you just did. Or it may not even be at that moment. It could be later. What I'm saying is, can there ever come a point in a man's life where things like that don't even arise again?
Okay, it's a good question, but I need to let you know that the flesh is a lifelong traveling companion. So, you are the one that will make yourself of no reputation. That's what I learned. Huh? You can say something, now you're holding a mic.
Okay, constantly tell yourself, when that thought is coming to your heart, you keep telling yourself, you want to die.
Huh? Those things are good. Okay. Those kind of words are good.
No, because sometimes it leads to condemnation.
Don't let any Satan or devil condemn you. See how you are thinking. Because it may not even be your thought. It may be a sponsored thought that an evil spirit said. But he will say, see what I just did. But when you hear it, particularly if you have not yet learned to discern the voice of your spirit, the Holy Spirit and voices of evil spirits, you will think you are the one who said so. You understand? But whether you are the one that said so, or it came into your thought, it's not a holy thought. Neither is it a holy outlook. So you come against it. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. I understand that. So I know there's no good in me. Jesus said, how can you call me good? None is good except God. Now, if that then is the case, of course, there are other things also that accelerate? No. What's that word? Fertilize. That fertilizes the flesh. Huh? When people don't know how to share testimonies, and they're around you, and blessing your fellowship, and you have not taught them how to share testimonies, that will give glory to who? And to God alone. Huh? And they start saying, I just want to bless God. And since I time I met Brother Busayo, my life has changed completely. I would have been nowhere now if not for him. If you sit down there, you are doing, bless you Lord, bless you Lord. You are killing yourself. Because those words will play back. Huh? Instead, when someone starts saying that, you know what I will do. In fact, when I was training, what did I do? I think I banned testimony. I said, people have to be trained. I banned it. I don't want to hear anything. Me, that I know that I'm struggling. All of you are saying that since you met me, your life changed. No. I know where I'm going to get to in God. It's still far. If you're saying these things now, you are legitimizing me. It's not that what they're saying is a lie. But the person they're talking about is a man. Amen. And like all men, he's a man of like passion. So people must be trained how to give testimonies and all of that. That when God does something for them, they should give the glory to God. Now, it could even be happening that now that they have been taught, that they are giving the testimony, the glory to God, and you are there, then you are angry again. It's possible. It's possible. I've experienced it before. Huh? You would then, you know what how I used to deal with it? I say, devil, you follow me here again? Inside me, I'll just sit down. But that's what I'm saying inside me. Say, leave me alone in the name of Jesus. It is God that did this for this person. And let us leave it at that. Okay? That's how to deal with it. There will be no time when you are now above pride. No. Maybe when you cross. When you see Jesus face to face. Pride will want to come just as the flesh will want to come. You are the one that will make yourself of no reputation.
People will always want to raise you and rate you and bow before you. You are the one that will tell yourself, show fair what you're about. And say, yes, my fair wally. Show fair shori buruku. Treat yourself the way you know you are. Weak, small, and nothing in the presence of God. As long as, what can you promote nothing to? Eh? What can you subtract from nothing? Me, before God, I'm nothing. And I'm okay like that. And I'm not saying know how to say it. I'm saying let that be your life style. Let that be what you believe and how you behave. That's all. If you do that, you'll last a very long time without any issues. Okay? Is there any other question? Questionnaire has come.
Okay, my first question is...
Don't preach.
My first question is...
Okay.
Is it true that the seriousness of this meeting means that if we don't take it serious, God will cut us off?
Okay.
That's my first question.
That's the answer.
That after this meeting... If we don't take it seriously, yeah, it will cut us off.
What? Maybe what you should even ask me is, what will it cut us off from? Huh? Who was there at a meeting about, maybe about 8 years ago, a retreat? The word of God that came says, some of you will betray me. Who was in that meeting? At Okeyano, I think. You were in that meeting? Okay. And do you remember that we're reading from Jesus' conversation with the apostles when he was saying, some of you will betray me? We mentioned that he didn't call Judas by name. I think you were in that meeting too. Was your church then, Abi? Were you there? You were there, no? We said that it's not that Jesus didn't know that this person was Judas. That in the same way, if the Lord wants to, he can call your name now. That the person is talking about is so people. But he has chosen because of love not to call your name. You were in that meeting yourself, Joshua. That people will betray the Lord. You remember now. After that meeting, okay, then I think people were asked to pray. I think. Then I think we also talked about the fact that all of them were coming one by one to say, Lord, is it me? And that Judas had the boldness to also ask that, Lord, is it me? After that meeting, those who took it seriously, what happened to them? The Lord helped them, they didn't betray him. What about those who did not take it seriously? I can mention 3 people from that meeting now. Huh? One now, when you see her, she looks like a white woman. What you put on? Huh? More than 6 people fell away. If you know me, I'm not somebody who likes to say some things and talk somehow. But if you have heard these things and you don't take it seriously, I think I mentioned it yesterday that this has impact. These lessons have impact on your destiny. I'm not somebody that will just tell you something lightly because I'm not trying to please you. I'm telling you the truth. And you know what's interesting? You don't need to believe it. It doesn't change the fact that that's what will happen. Because it is the word of God. You cannot move forward with you if you are not fruitful. Simple and short. Because you only cause more damages. Not just for your own life, but for the lives of other people. So it is true.
My second question.
Okay.
Can you give us one man that was warned and like this.
That was one.
Like this. An example. Okay. Maybe for us to go over and study that truly repented. And another example of one that was one like this. I know you could quickly mention Judas, you know. If there's another person outside of Judas that was mentioned like this, that they've been, some of our forefathers have been in such a meeting like this. 2 examples of one that repented after he was one. And the other that did not, and went. Just give us an example for, especially for me, you know. And I believe also it blessed the house.
Thank you. One example that was warned and repented. I'll keep it simple. I'll give you David. Okay? Examples of people that were warned, but they did not hear. I'll give you more than one. Jeroboam. Rehoboam. Asa. No. Jehu. What was this guy's name? Gehazi. And that is not written, doesn't mean it's not one. If you are with such a man, whom even when minister of defense of a country will come, will not collect anything from your hand, there are things he would have been teaching. But was that not who came? Another country's minister of defense came with gifts, everything, and they said, God said no, doesn't want anything from his hand. And you are the one that go and collect something when God doesn't want anything. Of course, he would have been warning him and telling him all manner of things. You know. How many is that I've called now? The final one I'll give is Balaam. Amen.
My own question.
What he wants to say is my next question, not my own question. I made a mistake.
Yeah, this one is my own question.
Okay, now, no problem.
For someone like me that has been in meetings, upon meetings,
yeah,
and I've chewed, but did not chew properly, and you know, there was something, one of the things that confronted me yesterday was Isaiah 5 verse 1, was saying you are planted
very fruitful
hill. And the other thing that came was the man that was like the pathway, and the man that was like the rocky place, and the man that. So I saw that the problem is not with the seed, it is with me. So now, for many meetings that have been lost, and let's say I want to. I know that Paul was not like me, really. Paul heard the true gospel and he started running. For someone like me that I've heard, and okay. So, over the years, and I know that there are a lot of people also like me here, so I won't want to talk for everybody, I'll talk for myself, and I know that in talking for myself, a lot of us will also hear. Yeah. What are the things that one can begin to do? Because the words were not given. It was given for a preparation. It was given for something I'm supposed to, I will need in the future to come. Now, let's say one is like Esau that sold one's birthright. Is it possible that one will not miss it? Okay. I know it's possible that one will not miss it, but what will one need to begin to do in mercy to redeem not just time, but to finish well?
Well, first of all, if you are in any meeting at all, because God does not speak to empty chairs, does he? Does he? God speaks to people. And you have not taken those meetings seriously, and now it seems to have been lost and time has gone and all of that. If it was God that spoke in those meetings, you have to go back for the records, either in your notes, of the things that were taught. You have to. Because he didn't bring those things your way for no reason or to no purpose. If he brought them, he brought them for a reason. You remember that first leadership retreat? Do you remember it? I can't even remember the theme anymore now. They were talking about
Yeah. When stumbling becomes a fall. Yeah. You know, so if God has spoken so much like that, if you're in a place that you're privileged to have so much of the Word of God and you have despised it, that means you took it for granted that it will always be there. You know, I was saying this morning that there are people here who must repent. You know, I was saying that. So after you have repented of it, to show that you've repented, you must bring forth fruit that is consistent with repentance. You go back to those notes. Study them. Practice them. So that after a while, it becomes your lifestyle, even without notes. Are you getting it now? Huh? And also continue the things that you're learning now. Because that's all you need to do. But if God has spoken to you before now, and you know that this is the word of God, you have to go back to it. For there may be things in it. Because if God speaks to us now about the future, if we are failing in the future, what do we need to do? We need to go back to the past to see what we have missed. That's what you need to do. And that's the answer to the question. Until we see tomorrow, may the Lord bless you in the name of Jesus.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on 080-833-8536, 080-745-8177, 081-409-9123-1, or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com. When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life